Welcome. Welcome to the inaugural edition of the Ride in the Pine podcast here with Hondo. I'm here with Guy. Guy, say what's up.
What's up?
All right, man. We are just getting started. So we kicked off the Ride in the Pine podcast last year, but we got into some pretty crazy playoffs and kind of got a little bit too involved with basketball and then didn't find ourselves recording. So we decided to come back after the season and really just get started and move forward throughout the entire season. We're going to go all year long now. And we're going to start this podcast off kind of not even really about us. We're just going to talk about the state of the NBA right now.
For sure.
And it is insane. I mean, where do we even begin? We have to begin at the top.
Yeah.
We have to begin at the top.
Sure.
So what I guess let's give a little intro in terms of what's happening just as part of the NBA. So there's a new television deal. Who's it through? Is it a CBS?
ESPN.
ESPN deal.
Yep.
So it's $24 billion?
Probably.
Something like that. An insane amount of money.
I can't counter that number. That amount of money.
But we'll confirm that. Research will be on that.
Right.
But we got the entire NBA kind of just going after players, and it has been insane.
I mean, unprecedented amount of movement.
Yeah, so we're looking at just all-stars we thought would never move. Like I recall back to last season, and it's so paled in comparison to what's happened within the first 6 days of this free agency. Just incredible.
That's insane what you just said right there. 6 days, and we've had all of this.
Just absolutely insane. So let's start off from the top.
Yeah.
Obviously, Durant's movement changes the direction of the league.
We're just going to go ahead and say July 4th.
It's now Kevin Durant Day.
It's Kevin Durant Day.
We've changed it. Independence Day, you've been revoked. It goes to Kevin Durant's.
It was all about Will Smith. And I'm just saying, well, Kevin Durant got his base god on, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, Kevin Durant adds to a pretty lethal lineup for the Warriors. Now, so because we get Curry, we get Thompson, we get Green, we get Durant. Who's five?
Zaza Pachulia.
You got Zaza Pachulia coming
in. Or David West.
You got David West coming in. I mean, it's incredible.
It's
like, people just want to win with this team. So they're just like, they're ring hunting.
This is really weird, but we have never seen an MVP team up with an MVP.
Yeah.
Curry and Durant are the last MVPs
NBA. So you have probably the best player third best player.
We have to phrase it differently.
Okay.
You have the best shooter.
The best shooter.
The best scorer in Durant.
Yes.
And the best, like, or I would say the best playmaker.
Yes.
In Durant.
Yes.
And the best shooter in Curry.
Yes.
And the best scorer in Klay Thompson. Like, it just seems,
oh my God,
like, unnatural. The 37-point quarter is on this team.
And then you add all the damn triple-doubles in from
Green.
It's just like, and
then insert me into the fifth spot, and they'd still win 75 games.
It's just absolutely incredible. So,
and they've retained Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston. I think they still have Ian Clark. Zaza Pachulia and David West is, like, meaningful. This is meaningful depth.
This is incredible.
It's so crazy how the seasons led up to this moment.
Yeah.
Like, the CBA was coming.
Yep.
Deals were announced, like, previous to the CBA being announced.
Yeah.
Curry got drafted by the Warriors. Thompson got drafted by the Warriors. Green got drafted by the Warriors. They built all this assets with the new CBA coming. Curry got underpaid with the contract leading into the new CBA.
Yeah.
Then they have all this room to get a freaking Durant.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. And it's also kind of a weird, like, dichotomy because they won without Durant.
Yeah.
They almost lost to Durant.
Yeah.
Like, Durant was that close.
He's that close. He's 48 minutes away.
Yeah, exactly. And then they couldn't get over the hump of Cleveland at full strength when they went through a full season without resting, really.
Yeah.
And some hard series with the Spurs, or with you know, with the OKC and yeah. You know, amongst others.
Yeah.
Where kind of Cleveland kind of coasted for the postseason. Yeah. So Golden State came out of the season. What are we going to do now? How are we going to up our game? Can we trust Curry's ankles? Can we trust the health?
Yeah.
Bogut's always injured.
Yeah.
How can we move forward?
Yeah.
They move forward.
They move forward. I mean,
it's remarkable.
I think the odds in Vegas are now 4-5. They're not even 1-1 that they win the championship next year. That's so incredible.
Yeah.
I think Cleveland is 3-1, and then I think you start to drop to reality numbers at like 8-1 or something.
For sure,
like
for
that.
Sure.
Just insanity.
4-5.
All right, so we start off with Durant. Obviously, that is the huge movement.
Right.
We got to go to Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose going to the Knicks. That's a huge. That's just huge movement. Yeah. Just in terms of what it means to Bulls fans, what it means to New York. Even if he's not the same Derrick Rose that he was, he's now a power player for the Knicks, and he's trying to get the Knicks back in the right spot. Now, what it feels like to me is the classic Knicks mistake, and it's a classic Knicks mistake of taking somebody too late in their career.
Oh,
that's maybe not.
He's been kind of unfortunately plagued with injuries.
Yes,
and it's a gamble. It's like a Brandon Roy out of retirement in Campbell. It's, you know, like, let's take a chance on Shaq at 33 or 35 in Boston, you know? Like, the Shaqtus.
Shaqtus.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a chance.
Yeah.
But there's a chance that he can be really good with Carmelo leading the way with Porzingis. There's so much depth.
Yeah, if he can help a player like Porzingis
with Noah, he's reuniting with Noah in New York.
This
and here's the best part of it.
Yeah,
he's had this like weird like hometown hero power struggle like within the organization that's probably fault run in a really weird manner.
Yeah,
he gets to restart his whole career. He gets to determine how his career ends.
Yeah.
Or peaks potentially. Sure. He goes back to his Memphis numbers in 25.
There it is.
He's like reborn.
Yeah.
It's like Derrick Rose reborn.
So, okay. So,
you know?
Let's talk. So, even if he's reborn, so what does the starting five Knicks lineup look like now? So, it's Rose.
Yep.
It's Rose. It's Carmelo. Mm-hmm. It's Porzingis. It's
Noah.
Noah. Who's five?
Aaron Aflalo?
Is it a? I thought Aflalo was traded.
Okay,
so,
sorry, man.
Well, we're gonna have to go to research.
There's been so much movement.
Aflalo went to Sacramento.
Yeah.
So
maybe Courtney Lee.
Oh, Courtney Lee was picked up.
Okay.
Was picked up. So, but that makes the Knicks interesting. It also makes the Knicks potential playoff contenders again.
I mean, until you know the ball gets thrown in the air, we don't really know. We're just speculating, but they look really nice, just as. What was and what could have been in Chicago?
Yeah,
you know,
and
kind of,
and the pieces are coming together. You never know if it will actually come together. It's the Knicks; they can still disappoint you, but on paper, it's potentially there.
Do you remember those Denver teams with Carmelo?
Yes,
like they were pretty lethal. They would always get swept, but they were lethal. And then they had that one season with Allen Iverson.
Yes,
and it was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's like it's getting back to that point with Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
It's gonna be such a huge boon for Carmelo now. Yeah. Like he doesn't have to be this volume scorer or shooter. He has reliable, you know, depth on his team now.
Yeah.
It's gonna be awesome.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah,
I like what it does. I respect the Knicks franchise. I respect what the Knicks mean in basketball history and basketball lore.
What they've gone through in the past two decades.
Oh, my God. It's just
like
terrible.
Their best team.
We're going to reserve that for a whole episode. Because
their best team was like an Allen Houston, Latrell Sprewell of like late 90s.
Whoa.
So it's been 15, 20 years. Yeah, you know,
it's been a while.
Pretty wild for them.
I want to move on to the next player that has really kind of is shaking things up, and that's Pau Gasol moving over to the Spurs.
Yeah, I mean, what's crazy about this is that it basically says this is Jimmy Butler's team and Jimmy Butler's team alone. Like, the Bulls have revamped with Jimmy Butler.
But he...
Jimmy Buckets.
I think he's the right guy. I think he's got the assets, and I think that players want to come around him. And I think that we're... I mean, I'm going to jump forward a little bit on my list, but we already got players like... Well, let's finish off the Spurs, and then we'll go into the full Bulls kind of lineup here. But Powell going to the Spurs, Powell only helps to improve the Spurs' already kind of winning prowess. Yeah. So
I mean, it's like, you know, point, counterpoint. Like, you make a move, we make a move. Yeah. Like, you zig, we zag kind of thing. Yeah. And
so you still got Kawhi. You still got Kawhi. You got LMA. You got Powell. You got Ginobili said he's coming back. Yep. So... and then
Danny Green, you got Tony Parker, you got. I mean, they're loaded.
Yeah,
they're loaded.
It's so funny. It's like they're a 70 win.
They got DeJounte Murray too. He was one of the best point guards in the country.
Okay,
and they picked him up last pick of the draft. Like,
okay,
fucking A, man.
There it is.
It's Spurs doing their Spursy magic.
All right, so. We move from Powell on.
Like, he's the successor to Tony Parker. It's going to be so amazing to watch the Spurs continue.
Okay. I'm going to move from Powell to Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes is a fallout from this, you know, from the casualties.
He's his own demise, though. Like, he shot himself out of a championship team.
He was so terrible to watch in the finals.
It's almost like he knew it was written in the cards. Like, he knew he was out.
But he ended up with, like, a $94 million contract. He is, like, he is doing fine, but he's on Dallas. And I think Dallas makes the playoffs just because of how bad the bottom of the West is.
Right.
But... I would not want to play for Dallas right now.
So I have a theory. Sometimes you make, like, offers to push other people's buttons and, like, to make them counter-offer and then screw themselves over. Remember when the Timberwolves had an offer for Eric Bledsoe for the max?
And then Phoenix countered and kept him. Yeah.
So I feel like Dallas did this to pitch Golden State's hand. And then, I guess they just take a chance. I guess they just take a chance. So they kind of maybe knew that Chandler Parsons was already out the door. I just feel like it's going to backfire on Dallas. And I don't think they have the tools to compete this year.
No. I think Dallas at best is a six if things are really working for them. But I don't think they're...
Well, it's completely heavily relied on Harrison Barnes. And that's who you're relying on. It's kind of hard to kind of see the future for that team. And, I mean, they have an amazing, character and owner.
They got Seth Curry.
They can learn from within. They can penetrate the family.
Moving on from Harrison Barnes, because I don't like talking about Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
Moving over to Rondo. Rondo joins Jimmy's squad over in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, as we're talking right now, live, there's been another deal, too, and we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
Like, fucking NBA-changing move, but first, Rondo goes to the Bulls, and I like this move because they didn't have a point guard when Rose left. They had Jose Calderon,
No.
That cannot work.
Jose Calderon is just not
going. He's washed up. And Rondo in Sacramento was like a mismatch. As much as it looked like a great fit, it was such a mismatch. The culture was wrong. The coaching was wrong. Everything was like just off-putting.
Yeah.
And like that... turns off Rondo, like in his peak of his this probably his final contract as an NBA player. He's 30 plus years old now. You know, he wants to go out with something. He wants to stand up for what he was, you know, in Boston.
Yep.
This is a good move. This is his final, probably his final team.
Yeah, but
a great playmaker he is, and to give Jimmy all the space, and then, you know, there's so much flexibility with the 1-2-3 now with this other player that joined.
Go ahead.
And so as of right now, Dwayne Wade has also joined the Bulls.
Dwayne Wade, Jimmy Butler, Rajon Rondo, incredible. And that, I mean, just
the deep dish work, man. Deep dish work.
There's so many assists going on. Like, I don't even understand. It's blowing my mind already.
Yeah, it's like the big beneficiaries are like Nikola Mirotic. It's like,
yeah,
they're
Mirotic scores like 30 points a game now.
Yeah, I mean, because there's so many playmakers on their team.
Yeah,
and Mirotic just needs to sit there.
I love it. I love it.
And they have Bobby Portis do all their the grunt work. It's like, it's gonna be a fun team to watch, and it's kind of like reinvigorating the East, where it was kind of just Cleveland and others. It's still kind of Cleveland and others, but so it's a revitalized
Chicago
East.
I mean, as we speak, do we have Chicago looking at it? I mean, we potentially have Chicago in a like 2-3-4 scenario again.
I don't know what their depth looks like because there's been a lot of movement. I know they've had to let go of some people like Jose Calderon and Mike Dunleavy and other people that have just happened. It's literally just happened. So I don't know their depth. They lost Noah. Like, that's big. Of course. They lost their kind of identity in a way.
Sure. But
they've like retooled really quickly. Yeah. Everyone wants to win. You can see it. There's going to be a lot of energy with Chicago. I have high hopes for them. I don't want to say contender yet.
Okay. All right. I mean, it's too damn early to pick any contenders.
But it's also Wade, you know, like injury-prone Wade.
And yeah.
At an insane two-year, $48 million year contract.
But if you got Jimmy and Wade going off, you got Rondo with just adding some points, but adding just a super amount of dishes in there. Like, this team is going to win games. It's going to win games. They need to find that bench depth, and then it's going to happen. All right, we're going to move on past the Bulls. We're inevitably going to be talking about the Bulls a lot more as we get into this offseason.
For sure.
Let's talk about Houston. Houston still kind of finds itself in a pretty interesting area, but I want to talk about a couple players that have emerged on Houston's lineup recently. First is Eric Gordon, and the second is Ryan Anderson.
Yeah.
So
it's like NOLA.
Yeah.
NOLA Rockets.
It's the NOLA Rockets.
It's the Houston Pelicans. Doesn't that sound great? It's so weird because Dwight Howard is not on that team anymore.
Yeah.
It's just such a strange team now.
Yeah. Well, okay. I actually kept I kept Howard off my list inadvertently. But
yeah.
So let's talk about Houston first, and then we'll go.
Well, I mean, it's this Harden's team. It's Harden's way, really, because.
But do these guys add depth to him? Are they going to play well with him? Like, what?
Well,
is Houston going to do anything? To me, it seems.
Who did Houston have as a shooter? They had Corey Brewer, Trevor Ariza. They had Patrick Beverley. They had They had Sam Decker, who was a D-leaguer. You know, so like, they didn't have anyone. Mm-hmm. Now they have Eric Gordon, who has never done anything in the NBA since he's been in the NBA. You know, like he's just been injured his entire time. So it's a reliable shooter or unreliable shooter, but he's a shooter nonetheless.
Unreliable shooter, of course.
But then they have Ryan Anderson, who's another, you know, unreliable shooter because he's been injured too.
Yeah.
He's had like year off surgeries.
If he can play though,
Ryan Anderson's a beast. He's like a poor man's Kevin Love or a millennial Kevin Love.
A millennial Kevin Love. Fair.
Looking for the new best thing.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think there's some nice potential, but I don't think there's enough depth because I don't see their front court doing anything.
Yeah.
If they're relying on people like, you know, Terrence Jones and Demo, and I don't know who they have even. It's not going to get done. I would like to see who they have. Maybe Nene joined them.
Nene was on the move.
I think Nene joined them, and Nene on the Rockets could be pretty cool, but We'll have to check and verify.
Let me see.
Yeah. But just saying.
Yeah, Nene did join the Rockets, according to my sources. According to my sources.
Which is me.
I said, and it's also in my Do People Care section. So
no one cares. I'm saying, like, the West is so. The West has already been won.
Yes.
So it's like, how do you continue to push the idea of your team being relevant?
Sure.
Or. How do you convince your momentum to be peaking after Golden State and the Spurs? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you push that? It's so fascinating. It's remarkable. all this player movement has happened, and we haven't even gone through all of it.
No. We got some.
There's more. Serge Ibaka went to the Orlando Magic in a trade on draft day. On the Magic. That's insane.
Goes to the Magic. I mean, let's talk about. I mean, we got Al Horford going to Boston. We got Aaron Aufalo going to Sacramento.
Dwight Howard went to Atlanta.
We have Bismack Biyombo going to Orlando from Toronto, signing a huge deal.
So they have Biyombo and Biyombo's father in Ibaka in Orlando. They have Alfred, Weekend Peyton. And Aaron Gordon should be the slam dunk champion, wasn't the slam dunk champion, because Zach LaVine is a slam dunk champion.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying? It's a weird team with an amazing coach in Frank Vogel.
Yeah.
I think that they're also in the mix for the playoffs.
I like it. I like Biyombo maximizing his deal. Biyombo brought up his street cred with what happened in the playoffs. This guy can play.
Would you say that Biyombo went Biyondo?
Oh my! I'm not ever saying that, but that's I was not a Biyombo fan last year, but after watching the playoffs,
we didn't know who he was.
Well, I had watched him play in Charlotte, and he was awful.
Yeah,
but no, he's come into his own. I think he can help Orlando. I don't really want to talk about a Flalo. I don't really care about that right now.
Yeah, neither do I.
But Al Horford to Boston, I think he adds a lot of depth. Boston's already a pretty good team already in the mix.
With the hodgepodge of guards and like tweeners, they made the playoffs as a really high seed and a very competitive couple series.
But you add a big guy in there who can.
And now you add a reliable big guy in there who can shoot the three even. Like, it's going to be great. And here's the other kicker.
Yeah.
Didn't they sign Jalen? Didn't they draft Jalen Brown, the third pick in the draft?
They did.
Don't they have more picks coming on the way next year with Brooklyn?
They did.
They have so many assets to move around potentially for max money players.
Oh my God.
There could be some weird things happening in the season, like some like DeMarcus Cousins style move, or Kevin Love to Boston move, or like some really interesting play. And they weren't the sweepstakes. They weren't the Kevin Durant sweepstakes winner, even though they tried to wine and dine him.
Yeah.
But they're a good enough team already, and they have they added Al Horford. It's gonna be great because they just are so much more reliable. They had to rely on like Kelly Olynyk and
you know what I blame for this whole move? I blame the Atlanta fans. I blame the Atlanta fans because I'm reading about Horford, about why Horford wanted to move, and he's like, I never saw fans in the stands. And he's like, and they had like 89% sellout, so that's not entirely accurate, but he was just like, I just saw empty seats, and like when I went to Boston, people just love basketball there. And
That's true.
They do. Like, you're playing for one of the storied franchises in the league, and that's where a player of Horford's caliber belongs. And I love it. I want to see
Al Horford succeed.
I do want to see him succeed, and I think he can bring I think Boston is going to be in the running for a championship, but they have to compete against these super teams. So,
I think they're still one player away. But I definitely think with Brad Stevens at the helm and Isaiah Thomas and, Jay Crowder. It just seems
great. They got a lot of hustle. They got
a lot of hustle. Marcus Smart. And they have some few shooters. And Jalen Brown, who the hell is he going to be? He looks like a great pick.
Yeah.
Not maybe at three, but he was a great pick. We'll see what he becomes.
Yeah, of course.
And they have a lot of, do the dirty work players too, so it'll be fun.
All right, well, we're going to keep going through. We got a couple guys, a couple other guys that have been on the move, and a couple guys that have, well, then we have some re-signing guys, some unknowns we need to get into here.
Sure.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. We are back. We are back here on Riding the Pine. I'm Hondo. We're back and we're talking about free agency and the massive amount of movements going on in this year's NBA. Just incredible. So we've gone through a number of players, a lot of high-impact players like Durant and everyone, but there's a couple other players and some big re-signs. And then we're going to go through a couple of ring-chasing veterans with some interesting updates here.
Hondo, got some breaking news for you.
Okay.
Ray Allen.
Okay.
Ray Allen is back.
Ray Allen is back and going to
Golden State Warriors.
Oh my God. Absolutely incredible. Ray Allen is chasing another championship.
We just talked about their depth and they are even deeper. Ray, he doesn't even need to play.
Ray Allen
it's
is
like the
like
threat of
number,
Ray Allen
number
is going to
eight or you know
the
number
threat of Ray Allen is going to make them a first seed. Like they're not going to lose a game. That's what's so crazy.
I predicted 78 off the bat, but with these, I'm like, if they go short of 80, I'm going
to
be surprised.
If they lose to the Lakers this year,
I'm like, they might lose a game against Cleveland, and somebody like just.
You know,
sucker kind of, punches them to win a game. You know, it's just it's like one you don't expect in terms of like
sweat,
like the Jazz or the you know the Nuggets. The Nuggets just like the Nuggets come out and play the game of their lives against them or something like that. It's incredible. So I mean, but we have Ray Allen going to the Warriors. We have Ginobili coming back to chase another ring with the Spurs. So.
Yeah.
I like what these guys are doing. They're coming back to win basketball games.
Yeah.
They don't care about the money because Ray Allen is not going. He can't go to the Warriors for money. You know he's going for a ring.
It's vet minimum.
Yep.
It's like $1.5 million.
But that's what I love of basketball players that love to play this game.
They want to chase their legacy. They want to catch what they can become.
But they're doing it for the game.
Yeah,
in the midst of this insanity that is this financial system of the NBA, these guys are doing it to win a ring and to chase like you said, chase their legacy, put themselves in the history books.
Hondo, man, like when the new CBA came out, I was like, this is going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
An absolute disaster. It could be one of the greatest things that's happened to the NBA.
I think the resurgence in popularity after this season, what we're going to see with the super teams, what we're going to see with just people reinvigorated about the action and the movement and the speculation in the NBA is going to bring the NBA back to its semi-glory days.
It's not sedentary anymore. It's not like sitting pat and waiting and tanking. It's like, we got to make moves because we have the flexibility. We have the, all the ability in the world to make moves.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about more moves. We're going to talk about more moves on another podcast about what's going to happen in 2017. But let's not get into that. There's far too much to get into of this year's picks. So I want to go back to my list.
Of ring chasers.
Beyond the ring chasers, just go back to some of the other actives that are kind of still in play. There were some really great moves, but there were some average moves here. Well, Dang decides to go to the Lakers.
Yeah, I don't understand. I feel like this is just money. It's not like he cares.
No.
I think he just wanted.
Is he looking for a bit in a movie or what?
Hey, probably. You know, Space Jam 2 is coming out. Maybe he wanted to. He wanted to be Lou. He wanted to be Beast. Mike, right?
I'll gladly buy you a cider if Luol Deng ends up in Space Jam 2.
Oh, how kind.
Okay. I do want to talk about a nice clutch addition to the Wolves. Brandon Rush gets announced today.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like an underrated signing because it's all like underrated meaning like under the radar because he didn't really play a whole lot for Golden State. He got injured in a key moment in the season prior to their championship run.
Yeah.
Or playoff run even. He's like a career 40% three-point shooter. He's kind of spectacular on defense, and he's a glue guy. Like, you put him in on the two or the three, he can play. And, you know, with the Timberwolves being kind of depth hungry, this is a great move, great signing. And
I think it was like $6 million or $7 million or something like
3.5.
that. 3.5. Huh?
3.5.
Oh, I'm overstated.
One of the cheapest deals. You know, we were talking about other moves.
Yeah.
We talked about the Lakers. Timothy Mozgov went to the Lakers.
Yes.
So
yes.
Timothy Mozgov, Luol Deng.
Oh my
like,
God.
What is this mess?
Yeah, I don't have no
idea. The Lakers look so weird right now because they also have, like, what?
They still have.
Hibbert.
They have Hibbert.
They have
Swaggy P. I tweeted out, if Swaggy P leaves the Lakers, I'll commit to watching 4 Lakers games this year.
He cheated on Izzy Azalea.
What's wrong with him? Really terrible, and it's for another episode. Lakers.
D'Angelo Russell, Julius Randle, Larry Nance.
And these other guys. I'm just not enthused. I'm really.
They seem really just like mixed. Yeah. They seem like the Sacramento Kings of last season. You know, it's really weird.
Yuck.
Anyways, keep going.
Okay, so let's get into a couple of the big re-signings though. Mike Conley goes for a massive deal.
Yeah.
A massive deal in Memphis. Is this a good or a bad thing for Memphis?
This is kind of like a hedge move. Like, they were about to be a bottom dweller team.
Mm-hmm.
If they lost Conley, they wouldn't have had an existence in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Conley is their team. Facilitator, scorer, you know, prowess on defense.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Gasol are the bread and butter, and Gasol and Randolph, I guess, for that matter. But Conley's deal secures free agents to want to come. Conley's deal keeps the dream alive for a few more years.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good time for Memphis to do this, because who else are they going to sign? They're completely out of the idea of getting Durant. They're not going to get Wade. Keep who they have.
Yep.
Because it's been working.
Yeah.
And they have a new coach in like the some Fizdale guy, I think his name is, from Miami, and he's going to bring a new identity to this team.
Okay.
I think it's going to be great. And they got Chandler Parsons.
Yeah.
As much as I don't really care too much about him,
yeah,
it's just depth, man. Like, they were relying on Vince Carter and Matt Barnes and like D-leaguers for a long while. Ugh. Now they have, you know, somewhat reliable scorer. I know. I agree.
Matt Barnes. Yosh.
I agree.
Okay, a couple of other big signing things. So DeRozan goes back to Toronto, which I think, money, man. Yeah, but I think that keeps Toronto in the running again next year. Deron Williams is not the same player he was, but he finds himself back in Dallas again.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about Dallas already.
Yeah, I brought up that whole Brandon Roy or other examples of pitching money, like from a guy out of retirement. Like, Deron Williams kind of laid his own bed.
Yeah,
he screwed over the Jazz so hard,
causing
drama because he wanted the fame, he wanted the glory.
Yeah.
He went to Brooklyn.
Yeah, just ugh.
And just destroyed that franchise. He found some like pep in a step in the playoffs with Dallas last season. But he's a nothing player, man. Yeah. Like, I just feel bad that he kind of went the Stephon Marbury route and kind of like wanted to chase, you know, fame and didn't get it, and really kind of screwed over his legacy because he could have been like a top tier, you know, point guard. Yeah. In this league. Anyways, time flies. Remember when he was like amazing with Boozer? Like,
I do remember when he was amazing, but he just kind of faded away.
It's crazy.
An interesting re-signing here. I was kind of following this Jamal Crawford story out for the Clippers. Now, I think he's a casualty of the Durant mess.
I think so too.
I don't know if they were going to originally offer him as much money or any, and bring him back. But I think
he was looking at offers from the 76ers or like other teams that could have offered him money.
So why did he decide to go back? Is it just they're competitive? I mean, he has performed well as like a sixth man, but couldn't he move up in kind of overall standing with a team that needs some more depth?
I would say this. Like, that team has been brought up for years now. Like, Rivers at the helm.
Yeah.
Griffin, Paul.
Yeah.
Crawford, Barnes. Like, they had Barnes, you know, and they had, DeAndre Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
They had all these, like, they had Bledsoe at one point. They had all these people, all this team that churned out some players.
Yeah.
And now they're left with just themselves. And it's like, they've kept together as a huge family. Like, this team screams family. Yeah. J.J. Redick, you know. It's like they couldn't leave each other because they were just so tight, so close. But they, you know, money kind of determined this. If Durant went to the Clippers, I think by circumstance, Crawford would not be on the Clippers.
Yeah,
because of money.
I think that makes perfect sense. And yeah, the money,
because he wants what he's worth.
Definitely plays. I think he signed like a 3-year, $42 million deal.
So I mean, and if they signed Durant, they wouldn't have had that. So
no. Absolutely,
they're paying max on multiple players right now.
All right, I'm gonna go through a little segment called "Do People Care?" First off, starting with Matt Barnes to the Kings. Do people care? Yes or no? Perfect answer. Ian Mahimi going to the Wizards. Do people care? Courtney Lee to the Knicks.
I actually think this is probably one of the bigger moves for them. Outside of what they already did, it gives them reliable three-point shooting. Derrick Rose is not a three-point shooter.
Yeah.
Obviously, Joakim Noah is not a shooter at all. Porzingis is like going into his second season, and he's probably not going to be playing too much perimeter. He's going to be playing a lot of in the post. And Carmelo can shoot the three, but he's a volume shooter from three.
Yeah.
So this was a great signing for them.
He adds them. All right, next player, Joe Johnson to the Jazz. Just kidding. That you can't answer that positively.
It's so weird. Yeah, it's just like a wild move.
It's
what are the Jazz doing? What are the Jazz doing?
I don't know.
I think it gives them like just playoff experience, veteran presence for a team that's kind of just like kind of being groomed by their own, you know, tuition or own fruition.
Yeah.
I think that Joe Johnson and George Hill and, you know, who else did they sign? They signed someone else that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I don't remember the other person.
So just like some depth, some playoff depth, some experience, veterans. You know, their veteran was, I think, Gordon Hayward. So I'm glad they had some.
Oh my God, Gordon Hayward was the veteran.
I mean, I think so.
Oh, that's not good.
So I mean, they have a good team. I think they're going to be kind of a surprise team in the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. So. I don't think Joe Johnson does a whole lot for them, but it's basically like the end of the Russian Prokhorov era in Brooklyn.
Yes,
the whole team got wiped out except for, like, you know, the giant and Brook Lopez.
Yeah,
I mean, by the way, Thaddeus Young went to the Pacers. Like, it's gonna be, they just like eradicated that team.
Yeah, just
and they're paying like a D leaguer $50 million and Tyler Johnson.
Tyler Johnson. So that's one of the stories I want to touch on because. Just because of how crazy this offseason has been and what this new CBA means, what this new TV deal means, it means players like Tyler Johnson, who literally was playing for the Sioux Falls Skyforce 2014. He's injured in 2015 playing for Miami. This guy comes back, and what is he making, like $60 million? Like 4-year deal, $60
million? Yeah, 4-year, $50 million.
4-year, $50 million deal?
It's just like Whiteside. It's like Whiteside. Whiteside was injured. Whiteside was a D-leaguer type of player.
Yeah.
Then he made like $980,000 to $1 million this season.
Yeah.
And now he's maxed.
Yeah. But Whiteside had stats to put him in the running for something like that. Tyler Johnson had a couple of games.
He just shot a couple threes.
A couple of games. He's not even playing like full minutes. Tyler Johnson is the epitome of rags to riches, like, in the NBA. But I like it, but I also hate it. I hate how quickly, because you got these veteran superstars playing for $1.5 million. You got Tyler Johnson playing for 4-year, $50 million. It's just
if Tyler Johnson's 4 years is worth 4 years for $50 million, what is Steph Curry worth? And he's making $14 million a year, which is the same amount as Tyler Johnson.
Steph Curry is worth like $60 million a year.
Steph Curry is making the same amount of money. It's so wild.
It's Steph Curry when Steph Curry re-signs and when LeBron actually re-signs. I mean, what is the league max?
Is there a $40 million contract, like, for 1 year?
I think we could see that. I think we could. I mean, LeBron already is making $1 billion in a shoe deal, but like, he's gonna probably demand that.
It's unbelievable. So, it's like too much money.
It's average.
But it's okay. I mean, it's like, I don't really know how to comment on it. It's just,
no.
It's going to have its downswing very soon.
Are we going to see a lockout or what?
I think so. I think so. I think it's going to be the reciprocal of what happened where the players determine the lockout. I think it's going to be an owner's reciprocal.
Well, let's go. Okay, let's kind of save the pros and cons of the CBA.
Yeah,
we'll save that for another podcast.
Because we probably even need to study up on it.
Yeah, for another podcast. Do we want to make – okay, I want to go a little bit into speculations for next season. Because there is a massive speculation now with what happens with Russell Westbrook after the Durant maneuver.
What could have been, right?
What could have been, but where does he go? He kind of has free reign depending on which teams have cap, but
Harden went to Houston.
Yep.
Reggie Jackson went to Detroit.
Yep.
Ibaka went to Orlando.
Yep.
Durant went to Golden State. What are we missing?
He's going southwest. He's going Phoenix.
He's going Phoenix. Just by process of location.
No,
there were some rumors about Minnesota early. There were some rumors of, you know, Boston or some other place.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good idea to move him right now and restart because he's going to opt out. He's not going to resign if he's not on a championship contending team. And he's going to get max money. Lakers. You know, that was a big because of UCLA and everything. But, dude, I don't know.
I can't figure it out yet.
Lakers might be a good destination for him.
I think he could. I mean, he really could help a lot of swings to come out to Lakers. I think they're willing to trade
Russell,
a lot of those young guys. They'll unload Russell those Randall, young guys everywhere. So
Jordan Clarkson, like Clarkson. Yeah, I
can handle.
I kind of feel for him.
For Westbrook.
Yeah.
Yeah, he finds himself in
his brother. He was probably the MVP. You know. Yeah. He was one of the MVPs of the league.
Let's talk about where he won't go. He's not going to go to Chicago. They don't need any more damn guards. So, like, they don't need any more all-star caliber guards. That's just – it's not going to happen there.
He's not going to Golden State either. Oh, wait.
No.
I actually don't know. That's like
no, he's not going to Golden State. We're not doing that. We're not going to create a black hole in Golden State. Like, just, like, completely blow the universe.
A black hole sun.
Boston – I think Boston's a potential, like, man.
He'd look good in green. You know, you saw those Kickstart commercials.
Yeah.
It's speculation.
I don't know.
He can't go to Portland. He can't go to, like, any of the Northwest teams because that would just be weird in the same division.
Yeah.
Western Conference, he could go to Dallas, and that would be interesting because of money can just happen.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see him to go.
What if he paired up? I'm just going to do a what if here. What if he paired up with Anthony Davis in New Orleans? Or what if he was moved and he got Davis to move?
Dude, I would love him in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Dude. Okay. Can we make that happen? Can we just call people? Can we tweet it out? Can you talk to a guy, you know?
I'll talk to a guy.
Yeah?
Because if we have Westbrook lobbying to Anthony Davis, the NBA is back. Yeah. It is back in New Orleans. It is just incredible. We had a three-point shooter in with those guys. I'm like...
Buddy Hield. They have him.
They have Buddy Hield. Oh, my God.
That team is set.
So they're set. They're set. It's just... It's incredible. So...
What an amazing idea. But they don't have any – they have Solomon Hill. They don't have any trade assets outside of Anthony Davis and Buddy Hield.
Just clear out the bench. Just clear it out.
NBA, make it happen. Remember when you rescinded the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
Yes.
Just sinned. Just make him go. Just make him go.
Sinned.
Just give Oklahoma some money and be like, yeah, they're there.
Right. We're going to speculate about this trade all season until it actually happens.
This is going to be the drama with behind the game. Like, it's just like, where does Westbrook go?
The Ride in the Pine just what conspiracy theory pod. The conspiracy theories that happened behind the Westbrook trade. So. Okay. All right. Since we're kind of coming to the end of our first podcast, so what I want to do is I want to take predictions for top four in the West, top four in the East, starting from the top. So let's start the West.
I think it's a given. I'll throw in one wild card. I'll go Golden State, San Antonio. I'll go Memphis, Clippers.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
And then for you?
Okay, you got to go the Warriors, going Spurs. I'm going Clippers and I'm going Portland. I'm keeping Memphis out of that mix.
Yeah, this is top four.
Yeah, this is just top four. We can't go top eight. There's too many players to even. We got to go through the full lineups before we can even get into something like that. So we're gonna do the same thing in the East.
So Cleveland.
Yep.
Toronto.
Okay.
Boston. Indiana.
I do like that. But I'm gonna change it up just a little bit. I'm going to go Cleveland. I'm going to go Toronto. I'm going to bring the Pacers all the way up to three, and I'm going to come in with Boston at four. So,
I'm going to change mine.
Oh, you're changing it.
I'm going Cleveland, Toronto, Knicks.
Oh my god! Oh my god! You heard Pacers. It here first. You heard it here first. If the Knicks go for three, Guy is sitting in the best seat in the house. He is sitting in the best seat in the house. He is sitting with Spike Lee, just applauding this.
And Richard Sherman. This. So, rolling craps.
Just rolling craps. All right. So this is our first podcast. So we're going to be back next week. We're going to talk a little bit about the pros and cons of the new CBA. Talk about other player movement. Inevitably, there'll be more players moving this week.
Yeah. If you have any questions, or tweet at us at How3 and at Guy Doda.
Yep.
And we'll probably have more appropriated Twitter handles for our podcast. But this is a Ryan the Pine podcast. I don't have.
Okay. This is Riding the Pine podcast. This has been a Vencast Studios production. This is Hondo and Guy, and we're signing off. See you guys next week.
Peace.